This morning I'm doing the third and final part of a series I began a little time back called Victorious Saints, part three. And today we're looking at overcoming Satan's power to destroy. I began this three-part series by stating that Satan fights against us in three dimensions, in 3D. He seeks to exercise his power over us to deceive us, so we wander away and lose our connection with God. He seeks to exercise his power over us to discourage us and weaken our faith so that he can break our connection with God. And then number three, destroy us while we have no connection with God. That is to seek to destroy us, to snuff out our lives while in a lost condition, thus sealing our eternal destiny. The prince of darkness delights to fulfill his fiendish desires. And only eternity will reveal how often he has met with success as he has applied his cunning and malignant art in leading many professed Christians astray and causing them to play into his hands and lose their eternal existence. And therefore, it's with good reason that the Apostle Peter declares to us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." You know, lions don't roar when they're seeking their prey. They keep very quiet. You know that. Then when they've got their prey, then they roar. So don't be listening for the roar, then say, "The devil, see, I'd better leave." No. Be concerned when there is silence and be vigilant because he is out there. And indeed, we must be sober. We must be vigilant because we are locked in mortal combat with a wily and a very powerful foe who this morning I've just announced the fact he wants to secure our eternal demise. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, as you know, we're in a warfare. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness," or in the margin, "wicked spirits in high places." This verse speaks, as I just read, of the rulers of the darkness of this world, wicked spirits who exercise power and dominion in the spiritually dark areas of this world. So if you don't want to come under their dominion and destructive power, stay out of the dark. Don't go where it's dark. Doesn't that make sense? Don't go where it's dark. That's where they lurk. That's where they're waiting to take you captive. And the dark place usually has a beautiful doorway, of course, that's all nicely lit up. And the lights sparkle, and there's roses, and there's perfume, and there's sweet sounds. And the devil entices people in, but there in the darkness, what sits there coiled up, ready to strike, is the same old serpent. So don't go where it's dark. And don't go there expecting God to work a miracle or send an angel to drag you out if things go terribly bad. That's what you call being presumptuous. It's what you call tempting providence. Jesus wouldn't go where it was unnecessarily dangerous. The devil said, "Throw yourself off the temple." Jesus would not tempt providence. He said, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." There is only one safe place for any of us to be. And that is not out in the dark places flirting and dancing with the devil. We need to be abiding in Jesus, in the protection and in the security of His light. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, or she that followeth me, or whoever does follow me, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So don't go where it's dark. Go where it's light. There's destruction in the dark, but there's life eternal found in Jesus, who is that light. He is the light of the world. And while you abide there with Him, Satan cannot exercise his eternally destructive power over you. Statement from Great Controversy 5:17. Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me," this statement says, those who follow, key word this morning, those who follow Christ are ever safe under His watch care. Angels that excel in strength are sent from heaven to protect them. The wicked one cannot break through the guard which God has stationed about His people. Can you say amen? You won't get there in the dark, but you'll get it when you follow Jesus and you abide in the light. But now I have a question. Is it possible, do you suppose, and it's really a rhetorical question, but I'll still pose it. Is it possible for someone to dwell safely in the light with Jesus today, but to find themselves out in the dark tomorrow and in danger of Satan's destructive power? The answer is definitely yes, right? Now get this, and it's not because in many cases, or there are some that walk away deliberately. Don't understand why, but they do. But who would want to go where you're risking your eternal existence? So most people don't. But nonetheless, there will be many after the close of probation who will be in the darkness, not because they deliberately chose to walk away from Jesus and deliberately chose to wander off in the light, but they deliberately chose not to keep up with the light. Do you get the difference? They didn't keep up with the light, and therefore the light moved on, and by default they were left behind in the darkness. Don't miss that point, because that's the main point that I'm making this morning. Going back to John 8:12. "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So if you always want to remain in the light and abide safely with Jesus, what must you do? You must at all times follow Him wherever He leads you. You must follow Jesus and keep in step with the light that He sheds upon your pathway from His Word. Follow Him thus, and Satan cannot destroy you. I want to read that again. Those who follow Christ are ever safe under His watch care. Angels that excel in strength are sent from heaven to protect them. The wicked one cannot break through the guard which God has stationed around His people. But when I speak of following Jesus and advancing with the light, I'm referring here to something far more deeper and far-reaching than just merely taking Amazing Facts 27 lessons. They're wonderful, by the way. Or reading the 28 fundamentals of the Seventh-day Adventist beliefs. That's great. We need to do that. We need to surrender our lives to Jesus. We need the new birth. We need to be baptized. But what I'm referring to here is doing the life of the continual advancement in the light as it moves forward. That is what we need to be doing. And that takes place after we've already been baptized and made that initial surrender to Jesus. There remains the issue of personal sanctification. walking up the upward pathway. The new birth and baptism is merely the beginning of the Christian walk. There is much more personal growth to make in preparation for the soon coming of Jesus. There is a work of character transformation that God wants to accomplish in each one of our lives so that when Jesus appears, when He appears, we will have already grown and blossomed into His own righteous image. That's why you have to follow Him. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons and the daughters of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man and every woman and every child that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, herself, even as He is pure." So there is a work of purification that needs to take place in our lives. A work of righteous transformation into the moral image of Jesus in preparation for His coming. And it all depends upon our willingness and our determination to follow the light of Jesus' leading wherever He leads. And as we get close to the end, that path is going to become more narrow. And it's going to become more steep. But if you want to abide in the light, you have to walk up that path, because that's the path Jesus is climbing. And you need to stay with Him. And if you don't stay with Him by default, the light will move on and you will be left in darkness. And who wants to be in the darkness? Because who's there in the darkness? The rulers of the darkness of this world. We're just waiting to take you and to steal from you your surety of eternal life. I want to read from First Testimonies to the Church, page 187. Begins about paragraph 2, I think. It describes how God seeks to accomplish this process of purifying His people by following Jesus. But also it speaks of the reaction of some, if not many, who push against God's divine purpose and His plan to purify them and to prepare them for Christ's coming, so that when He comes, they can be like Him. It's from the chapter, The Laodicean Church, and I'm pretty sure I read this passage the other week when I did my previous series on Laodicea. I think there was 3 or 4 parts. I want to read this again, and I make no apologies if I did read it before. I think I did, because it's what we need. God leads His people on step by step. He brings them up to different points calculated to manifest what is in the heart. You see, theologically, we need to advance in the light, understand all the doctrines. That's good. It has its place. But God doesn't so much look in the head. He looks in the heart. And that's where the work takes place, the work of transformation. God leads His people on step by step. He brings them up to different points calculated to manifest what is in the heart. And the result, the reaction, some endure at one point, but fall off at the next. At every advance point, the heart is tested and tried a little closer. If the professed people of God find their hearts opposed to this straight work, it should convince them that they have a work to do to overcome, if they would not be spewed out of the mouth of the Lord, and of course my own words, by default be left behind in the dark. Said the angel, "God will bring His work closer and closer to test and prove every one of His people." And again, the reaction from His people. Some will receive one point, But when God brings them to another testing point, they shrink from it and stand back because they find it strikes directly at some cherished idol. I'm pointing at myself this morning, you will note. They have opportunity to see what is in their hearts that shuts Jesus out. They prize something higher than the truth, and their hearts are not prepared to receive Jesus and His light. Go home and read that passage. And I have another little part from it in a moment. First Testimonies 1:8-7 on the Laodicean church. I became a Seventh-day Adventist Christian 45 years ago. After studying the Bible and following Jesus and advancing in step with the light that shone upon my path. And when I was baptized in 1969, and that was a good year for me, I rejoiced in the truth and stood fully in the light, safe and secure with Jesus. But if today, after 45 years, all I was living up to was the light that I had back in 1969. Do you know where I would be today? By default, I would be in the dark. You see, God, Christ, has given me so much light since that time. He has not only given me a broader theological understanding of truth, present truth, and oh, how we need that. It's because we don't have that, so many of us don't study that, that things such as indeed the emerging church and all of these things can walk through the front doors of so many churches and people are just sucked in. They think they're getting drawn into the light, but that vacuum is sucking them in and spitting them out into the spiritually dark places of this world, and they don't even know it. So we need the head knowledge. We need to read this word and understand what we believe as Seventh-day Adventists. And God gave me that light, and I lived up to it. But you know, I had to move on with the light theologically, and that's a good thing. But you know, there's something that is just as important, and dare I say, even a little more important. Jesus is also, over those 45 years, given me a greater understanding of myself. Jesus, because He loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know, because the Bible tells me so. He loves me. And every day I experience that love when I go and open my heart to Him, you know. I tell Him, Lord, You're the best friend I've got. And I want to serve You. And I'm just a little child. But I ask You to lift me. Sit me on Your lap and hold me tight. Keep me safe. That's where I always want to be. Because He loves me. And I love Him too. And I tell Him, Lord, you know, the love I return to You, it's nowhere like the love You have for me. But you know, He doesn't turn it away. He doesn't say, Michael, it's not going to. He accepts it. So it's the greatest thing anybody ever gave Him. What a wonderful friend. And because He loves me, and He wants to do a work in my heart, Jesus, over these 45 years, has taken me down some very bumpy and very painful roads, wherein my reactions to that have revealed my character defects as He sought to lead me on step by step. I've kicked back sometime, and is revealed to Him. He already knows, but it's been a revelation to me what is in my heart here. And there have been struggles, and I kid you not, there have been tears in my 45 years, as Jesus in His love has sought to correct me, to reprove me. Sometimes He has chastened me, but it's never been in anger, you know. I was praying to Him this morning, looking back on my life, and I said, Lord, sometimes I know You've had to chasten me, but You've never got angry with me. You've never said a bad thing about me. All You've done before the angels is express concern for Your boy Michael. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful friend. But because He loves me, He's taken me through fiery trials, testing me to see if I'm willing to sacrifice the cherished idols I did not know I had 45 years ago when I first was baptized in 1969. But as He leads us on step by step, and if we're willing to follow, He will reveal these things. And as He does, then we must follow. You know, I'm still getting revelations and bumpy roads. As Jesus continues to chisel me, your Pastor Mike, I hope I'm yours. Your Pastor Mike, He continues to chisel me and polish me, to polish me up ready for His kingdom. And you know, I know there are more to come, but I know by His grace, I know that He who began a good work in me will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6, and He will do that for you. If I continue and you continue to let Him. So every time I read that statement in 1 Testimonies 1:87, God leads His people on step by step. My heart's desire, and God knows it, my heart's desire is that He will give me the grace to climb and to follow Him as I take hold of His hand higher and higher on the way, regardless of whatever the cost, whether I lose everything. I say, Lord, make me willing to lose it, that I can abide with You safely in the light. And where Satan is still able to come in, he still comes to tempt me. You know, he's a wretch. He still comes to annoy me. He still comes to persecute me sometimes. You know, sometimes I'm even open and he can afflict me, and the Lord lets him do it. But you know what? Regardless of that, while I'm with Jesus, Satan cannot come and destroy the surety of my eternal life, because that's safe in Jesus. So you pray for me, and I will pray the same for you. Let's all pray for one another. And let none of us be among those who find, quote, their hearts opposed to the testing and trying of God as He seeks to lead them on step by step. Not only for the sake of growth and sanctification, but also as well, remember, we're looking at the fact it's the only way we can remain fully and safely in the light and be preserved from Satan's destructive power. Now, here's the rest of that statement from 1 Testimonies 1:87. And it's very sobering. It's about those who God seeks to lead on step by step, but they won't have it. Continue. Individuals are tested and proved a length of time. You all have a length of time that God has determined. I have one as well. I don't know how long it is, but God knows. You don't know, but God has determined to give you a length of time. You don't know when that end will be. Don't even try and figure it out. Just know that while you have the time, follow Jesus. Individuals are tested and proved a length of time to see if they will sacrifice their idols and heed the counsel of the true witness, Jesus, right? Remember, this is a church message to Laodicea. And may I add, keep up with the light. But if any will not be purified through obeying the truth and overcome their selfishness, their pride and evil passions, the angels of God have their charge. They are joined to their idols. Leave them alone. And they pass on to their work, leaving these with their sinful traits unsubdued to the control of evil angels. the light moves on. By default, they are left in the dark with who? The spiritual rulers of darkness of this world. Is that where you want to be? Of course you don't want to be. It's a silly question, right? But that's where many professed Seventh-day Adventists will finish up, because they have a perverse and a selfish will. And I can be as perverse and as selfish as any one of them. And so can you. But let us determine today that we'll let God have His way, so we stay in step with Jesus and we stay in the light. Remember, those who follow Christ, GC 517, Great Controversy 517, remember, those who follow Christ are ever safe under His watch care. Angels that excel in strength are sent from heaven to protect them. The wicked one cannot break through the guard which God has stationed around His people. So, if you are out there, lost in the dark, under the control of evil angels, you know what to do, right? Or you should do. And if you're out there in the dark, it's because you stopped following Jesus. And the life, the light, left you behind. Some of you know I'm talking to you this morning. I don't know your life, but I know I'm talking to some people here. There was something happened, maybe yesterday, maybe 5 years ago. God sought to lead you on up another step, and it was something that you didn't want because there was an idol inside. You didn't want to cherish that idol. So God, He left you there. He's not going to force anybody. You have a length of time that He's going to prove you. You have a chance to move on still. But if you don't, you'll be left in the light. You stop following Jesus. Or you may have never followed Jesus. You may have a very good knowledge of the truth. You may have been coming to this church for who knows how many years. Who knows how many evangelistic meetings you've been to. But you've never actually given that heart to Jesus. You never actually said, Lord, I'm coming. I want to walk in the light. You know the truth, but yet you're still in the dark, non-committal. That's a dangerous game to play. Well, it's time to seek Him who is the light of the world, whether you've fallen behind or whether you've never even made a commitment in the first place. If you're out there in the dark, don't linger on the devil's enchanted ground. It's too dangerous. Do not be presumptuous. It's too dangerous to gamble with your salvation. The devil is very good at gambling. We are not. You sit down trying to play the game of life with him, you're going to lose every time. And the stakes will not be $5,000 or $10,000 that they take from people from Thunder Valley Casino, which I can see right from my living room. He's going to steal from you your surety of eternal life that was bought at such a tremendous cost. Don't gamble it. Don't let him take it. Don't squander it. Because if he tells you to move on, you can't. You don't want to, because there's a cherished idol in your heart. Sacrifice the thing. Let it go. And please, don't anybody hear reason that, Pastor Mike, I really don't have to be that alarmed, because, you know, I've known the truth for years, and I haven't been complying with God's full will, but, you know, the devil hasn't taken me and crushed out my life. So, you know, I think you're being a little bit of an alarmist this morning. I still probably have some time that I can put things right. So don't worry. You know, don't be so straight. Don't get so head up and wound up about this whole thing. Listen, my friend. Just because Satan hasn't snuffed out your life because you're flirting with him and you're playing the game of life, gambling your eternal surety, it does not mean he has murderous intentions toward you. It simply means that God, in his mercy for you, is restraining him and holding him back during the last few hours of your probationary time. That's why you're still alive. That's why your heart still beats. That's why you can still take a breath of air on this beautiful Sabbath that God has given to you. It's not that you're any safer. It's just that God in His mercy in that time that you have, and we don't know how long that is, you're doing this to God, and yet in His mercy you're still telling the devil, thus far and no further, thus far and no further. The devil's just chomping at a bit to take you and destroy you. But you know, soon the time will be past. Probationary time is about to spread its wings and to fly away. And the book of Revelation tells us that there are angels holding back the winds of strife. And when that probationary time is gone, God will tell those angels to loose the winds of strife. Then Satan will have free reign over those who have hung around and dallied in his domain. He'll allow free reign to do his destructive work. I want to read to you from Great Controversy 6:1-4. After the close of probation, I quote, "The wicked have passed the boundary of their probation. The Spirit of God persistently..." Not just once, but persistently. You know what persistently means? It means you're just downright stubborn. Have you seen little children? Persistently. "I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that." You ever seen children in a man's suit or a woman's dress? We're all children. We're so persistently stubborn sometimes. And God is so patient. But let me get back to this. "The wicked have passed the boundary of their probation. The Spirit of God, persistently resisted, has been at last withdrawn. Unsheltered by divine grace, they have no protection from the wicked one. Satan will then plunge the inhabitants of the earth into one great final trouble. As the angels of God cease to hold in check the fierce winds of human passion, all the elements of strife will be let loose. The whole world will be involved in a ruin more terrible than that which came upon Jerusalem of old." Another assignment. Go home and read the first chapter of Great Controversy, The Destruction of Jerusalem. You go read that. "A single angel destroyed all the firstborn of the Egyptians." A single angel destroyed all the firstborn of the Egyptians and filled the land with mourning. "When David offended against God by numbering the people," again, one angel caused that terrible destruction by which sin was punished. "The same destructive power exercised by holy angels when God commands will be exercised by evil angels when He permits. There are forces now ready." I repeat, there are forces now ready, only waiting the divine permission to spread desolation everywhere. You get the point? So if you're out there in the dark, and you know who you are, I urge you, go back to where you last saw the light. For where the light is, there you'll find Jesus. And there in His presence, you will secure your eternal safety. Go back to where you last saw the light. And get back in step with Jesus. Step by step, He wants to lead you on. Say, "Lord, all right, I'm taking out this stubborn foot. Here I come." He's waiting for you. Don't make Him wait any longer. Get back in step with Jesus. And today, Jesus still lives. And Jesus still waits to enlighten your path and to deliver you from Satan's destructive power. And don't fear that Satan's grasp upon you cannot be broken. Jesus can sever the cords and chains that Satan may have wrapped around you while you've wandered around there in his land. He's not destroying me, but all the time he's wrapping those chains around you. He's never idle. And as you come to your senses, you realize I'm still alive, but I'm enslaved. If you call upon Jesus, my friend, if you call upon Jesus, He will forgive you and He will deliver you. And He will forgive you for your rebellion, for all your backsliding, and set you free from Satan's destructive hold now and deliver you from his destructive power, which he will surely exercise over you if you leave it too late. And when mercy no longer pleads, and the time of trouble breaks upon this world, if you are back in step with Jesus, you will have a shelter under his wings. I want to read from Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is a psalm we all should memorize because it is especially for the time of trouble. I'd like to read it all, but I'll just read a few verses. But this is your promise. You will, if you keep in step with Jesus, you will abide in the light, you will be safe. And all around you, as you see the devil doing his worst, these words will be fulfilled to you. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Verse 3. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. It's going to be all around you. All around you. 1,000 shall fall at thy side. In those thousands, and 10,000 at thy right hand, and in those thousands, and in those 10,000s, there's going to be former Seventh-day Adventists who had all the accumulated light of the ages, and Jesus sought to lead them on step by step, but they were perverse, and they said, I don't want to do it. And by default, they were left in the dark, and that little piece of time they had came to an end. And in this time, they will fall with the rest who've rebelled against the God of this universe. And they will cry out. They will cry out in despair. Try and imagine it. Well, don't try and imagine it. The summer is past. The harvest is ended. And we are not saved. But that doesn't have to be your lament. Verse 8. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. And you will be so glad in that moment that you didn't cast in your lot with them, but you came out of the dark, because you will have a reward, the surety of eternal life. And though everything around you is just coming to pieces, you will be safe. Verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil come nigh thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And God says in verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, because Michael or Avis or Robert and James and Helen and Jennifer and Ray and Elizabeth and all of you. Jesus knows all your names. He says, because they have set their love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Therefore will I deliver her. I will set them on high because they have known my name. They shall call upon me and I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will deliver them and honor them. With long life will I satisfy them and show them my salvation. Amen. Praise God. Which do you want? To be out there in the dark? Especially when everything's falling down? Or to be in the light? Safe. Safe with Jesus. And as I read in that statement earlier on, God sends his angels to protect us. The evil one cannot get through to us. Those angels, especially the mighty angels of God, will shield us during that time of trouble. In great controversy, Ellen White says they appear as men of war. Men of war. And they circle around God's faithful children, so helpless. And if their eyes could be opened, they'd see those cosmic beings as men of war. She says, nobody can pass that angelic watch. So come back to the light. If that's where you are, come home to the light where Jesus is. And as Jesus forgives you and delivers you from Satan's power, and as you get back in step with Jesus, be thankful. I don't want you to miss this now. I'm getting ready to conclude. Just be thankful that Jesus kept in step with the light when he came down to this earth to redeem you. See, if Jesus as a man had not kept in step with the light, you and I would have no surety of eternal life today. You see, as a man, Jesus was required to walk in the light of every word of Scripture as we must. But also as the Son of God, he was required to keep in step with the light of the Old Testament prophecies that outlined the nature of his saving mission to this lost world. And as a mere child of 12 years old, Jesus came to understand when he went to that first Passover in Jerusalem. He came to understand that messianic prophecy of Isaiah 53, that it applied to him. It foretold his sacrifice as the Paschal Lamb. It dawned on his young mind. And all through his life, Jesus kept in step with the light of prophetic Scripture, knowing that as he followed that light, it would eventually lead him to a cross, where in terrible agony of mind and body, he would be broken and spilled out for us and for our children. He knew that, but he kept in step with that light because he knew that was the purpose of his existence here upon this earth. How many times, we wonder, as humanity may have shrank from the thought of that terrible ordeal that awaited him, yet how many times did his love for us still drive him on? Jesus stayed in step with the light all through his life. And when the hour came, according to the Scripture, to become our Paschal Lamb, Luke 9:51 says, "And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up." Received up as an offering and then finally to go to the Father. He says he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Did Jesus say, "Father, I don't want to take this step"? No. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And as Jesus wrestled with the powers of darkness in Gethsemane, and upon the cross, the light he had so faithfully followed for our sakes all his life, that light was swallowed up by darkness so deep and so dreadful, it will ever remain beyond our eternal comprehension. But Jesus drank that cup of dark suffering, so we could in turn have light and life eternal. And the destruction that Jesus now spares you from at the hands of Satan is all because he was spared not from destruction. He suffered the destruction for us in our place as our substitute upon the cross. I hope you realize this. And through his death, Jesus has paid the price of our redemption from sin and from Satan's power. And also fulfilled the divine purpose that our scripture reading this morning says, Hebrews 2:14, he fulfilled the divine purpose that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Satan, the destroyer, is destined to be destroyed himself eternally as a consequence of Christ's victory over him upon the cross. The day is soon coming when the saints of God will no more be assailed by the devil. He will be gone, along with sin and death forever. For Christ has conquered. And has conquered also, as it says in our scripture text, to deliver them, that is us, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So if you're out there in the dark, come back. Come back to the light. Jesus is waiting to take you, to deliver you, to keep you eternally safe. And if you've never walked in the light and you've played around in the dark, now is the time. Go to Jesus. Go to the light. And he will lighten your path. And he will do a work in you to prepare you for his coming. And you will be safe. Eternally safe. He will deliver you from Satan's power. From all fear of death. And Jesus was victorious. And that victory Jesus will give to you. So that you even now can be a victorious saint. God bless you.
Our closing hymn will be 612, Onward Christian Soldiers, all four verses.
This morning, if you want to keep in step with Jesus, if you want to be a Christian soldier, then you know what to do. If you're out there in the dark, come into the light. Jesus is still there. He waits to receive you. He waits to give you the assurance of eternal life that all the hosts of hell cannot snatch away from you. It says your crowns and thrones have perished. Kingdoms rise and wane, but the church of Jesus constant will remain. Gates of hell can never gainst that church prevail. We of Christ's own promise That can never fail. He will bring you through. Keep in step. Be a marching soldier for Jesus. Let's sing the third stanza. Can you turn the piano down on the monitor? Thank you. Third stanza. Last stanza reads, "Onward then, ye people, step by step, go onward with Jesus." So I want to give you an opportunity, if there's anybody here this morning who has never even got in step with Jesus, you know the truth, you know the light, but you never made that decision, come down here, I want to pray with you. And the rest of you who know the light, but you want to stay up with the light, you want to be faithful and say, "Lord, lead me on step by step. Whatever it is I find in my heart that I am opposed to, Lord, I want to be a willing servant. If you want to be willing and yielded to Christ, I want to make that commitment again this morning to walk fully in the light and come under His divine protection while your timeline still remains. I invite you to come forward. I want to pray with you as well. Let's sing the fourth stanza. If there's any of you want to talk to me privately afterwards, if you've never been baptized but you want to be, there's anything you want to talk about your walk, come see me on the door. We'll make an appointment. And God bless you. Let us pray. Father in heaven this morning, we thank you so much. There is a light. And in that light, there is a Savior, because that light comes from Him. It shines from the glory of His countenance. It shines from the wonder of His deep, precious, and compassionate heart, who yet welcomes home those who have resisted His claims upon them, who have flirted with the adversary out in the dark. Jesus still waits, and that light still shines. And we praise You that even today, salvation still awaits each one of us, Lord. And I pray for those who have come forward, some maybe for the first time, that You will bless them and strengthen them, that You will take their feet and turn them in the path to go forward and upward. And those who may have come forward this morning who are in the path but just want to be even more willing to let You lead them on step by step, I pray for them as well, that You will strengthen them. I pray You'll strengthen us all, Lord. We have so little time left. So this morning, as we come to You, we confess there's nothing we can bring, nothing in our hands that we bring, but simply to the cross of Jesus we cling. And here we ask that His blood would wash us clean, that His grace would anoint us, that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we would be the children of God, marching upward to that kingdom of glory where soon those gates will open. And as victorious Christians with a victorious Savior, we will march through heaven's archways. And we will praise You and worship You. And nevermore will we come under the power of temptation or fear of death. Because He who is the author of death and sin will be forever gone. And we thank You that Jesus cast Him down upon the cross. We praise You for that. Now may this same Jesus lift us up and fill us with His abounding grace. And thank You, we praise You, and we love You, and we worship You, and we give our all to You. In the name of Jesus, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.